Blog Talk Radio.
Black Power Radio. This is your host, Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem. I'm in the potentially fair city of Washington, D.C. Yet a beautiful city, but lacking just turn to this hour. So we're here at Black Power Radio to give you actually more of what you listen to your radio for. And we are right here in Washington, D.C. with the most informative radio talk show on the internet, on your Twitter glitter or Facebook with no look. Perhaps if you get on your Instagram with no ham, or you could just dial up on your, well, some come in by desktop tonight, and others have their laptops. And by the looks of the audience, there's quite a few there, their drop tops. So whatever means you're tuned into Black Power Radio tonight, we are just still just the whole show behind tonight. But we got a great show in store for you. We're going to talk about Black Revolution and the Million Woman March. And we are just, man, ecstatic about the fact that we have you here on Black Power Radio. You could have gone to your nephew's bar mitzvah, But instead, you tuned into Black Power Radio. Now, ain't that wonderful? And some of us, well, I'm waving by to those that went to the Tiger Woods. There were so many at the Tiger Woods show. And there's about 20 going out on the Tiger Woods golf tournament tour. And, oh, you're on the way to Augusta? And at least one of them will come back with a green jacket. But however, if you did miss your soccer mom practice, I see a few soccer moms in the audience, and those that did, you know, attend the Venus Williams and Serena Williams tennis tournaments being held at the Arthur Ashe Tournament Hall in Richmond, well, they're going to be there, and we will be here. But if you don't be here and you're there, be there or be square. And I'm telling you right now, we're right on Black Power Radio talking about Black Revolution. Talk to me, woman boss. And we also have beamed up right here.
None of this will be Memorex. This is all live tonight. And you're live right here on Black Power Radio. And we're happy to welcome to the airways our National Minister of Justice is going to pick us into the next hour with Black Power and a strong Black Revolution and some Million Woman March talk. So talk Black to us, our Black sister, right out in Los Angeles, California, the Honorable Dr. Critical Race, Truth Bay. Black Power. Black Power?
Black Power.
Oh, Black Power.
Family?
Black Power.
What's happening? What's happening? We are so Revolution is on all-time high today. And so our host, thank you so much, Shaky Mama, for we must say he is the most charming host on anywhere on the Internet. So if you want to call in, we want to hear from you every Sunday and Monday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. to 11 Eastern, and 515-605-9889. Call in. We have a packed show this month. But we are going to start off with the origin of marches, one in particular. If you have been sleeping in Philly, you tend to wake up very soon. So the Million Woman World March has been started by Empress Chinosu, and hopefully she'll be on to express how important it is, especially for Black women, that we must have some type of resources to keep moving and to build back our Black communities and families. So this is something that we all hands on deck and request that you put on that Black Revolutionary cap. So this also, we want to talk about some justice system. Now, what does the justice system look to you in your community? Many of us know that the incorporation of incarceration is overwhelming, but have you gone to your local courts and see who actually is running those things? We must not forget, and I want to give homage to all our brothers behind the wall, all our sisters behind the wall, prisoners of war, whatever you want to say. We definitely have to remember our voices and our families who have been affected by incarceration. So the justice system in your area is what we're going to talk about, particularly in Kentucky, and we have a special guest coming up. And just a brief introduction of the work that he's done. He's an A&R rep for Universal, and he has single-handedly tried to reconvene the HBCUs in Kentucky. So we all know about HBCU, I mean, right? Shaking on my bar, Howard University, or some call Coward University, some of the atrocious.
I'm more beginning to call it Coward University and bow down later to the opposition.
Yes, sir. And so, not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, the student dorms didn't have somewhere for our bright and budding students to reside. So mold and mildew and a protest, and 30 days later, they came to some negotiation. But HBCUs, we want to remember, are in there as the gateway for our best and brightest young Black youth to get into adulthood, into a career. But again, who is it ran by? That is that we're going to solve that question. So we do want to do a brief introduction with our youth minister in Kentucky, Sensei Noah. Sensei, are you there? Welcome to Black Power Radio.
Black Power, how y'all doing?
All right. We are doing
fantastic.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. And how about yourself?
We're doing all right over here, you know, fight for the land, free the land, free the land.
Free the land by any means. So tell us a little bit about what's been happening in Kentucky concerning the HBCUs, Kentucky State and Simmons College.
Kentucky State and Simmons College. So right now we're going through a little bit of a crisis, right? The schools are actually underfunded out here for anybody that doesn't know. And we're just trying to put together a way to get them funded in certain ways. Now, there's been like 5-year plans and 10-year plans that have been, being acted upon, right? But as far as the dorms and all this other stuff, they're using like hotels to house the students, right? Even though there are new dorms going up, right? The students have been coming to me, so many, and their complaints are, we don't get the HBCU experience, right? Even though it's the HBCU, right?
Tell us what is the HBCU experience for those who may not know how important it is for college life.
I can kind of tell you mine. The HBCU experience is actually being able to be taught the history, right? Because a lot of the kids right now are not being taught the history, or the history is being whitewashed. So when they do get it, right, it's misconstrued. But being able to attend some of these things where they have reenactments of marches, or some of our ancestors that have passed on, and kind of understanding what was going on. Also, not only that,
critical race theory.
You said what?
Sort of like critical race theory, Black history.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then not only that, just being inspired by people that are in position right now. Even though, the industry, the music industry, it doesn't even have to be the music industry. It could be, Umar coming, right? Or
that's it. Umar. That's our Minister of Education. Let's give a shout out to Dr. Umar.
He came, I want to say, around 2018. We met in Lexington, right? I had actually shot a message to him, like, hey, I hear you coming to Lexington. And he actually picked the phone up when I called, right? Because I was just trying to reconnect with him. He's like, yeah, I'll be down there in Lexington. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, I got Umar on the phone. So I took some students to meet him in Lexington, and then we actually came back to the capital, Frankfort, and went and talked to Kentucky State University, right? And it was mostly about, having our own banking system, growing our own food, having everything, internal. That way we can recirculate our money. Pan-Africanism, it was a great experience. I actually got to walk him down to the podium at my alma mater. So it was a very honorable experience with him. But things like that, things that inspire change, even meeting celebrities, right? I've gotten the chance to meet a whole bunch of celebrities. BET came to our campus when they were doing the HBCU tour. Shout out to BET.
Shout out to BET. Let me reframe that, my dear. Shout out to BET when they were Black.
Right. I'm ready to say hopefully it'll fall into some Black hands. But, just the inspiration of, hey, we're Black too. These things have your color attached to it, right? And you guys can get into these. You can get into this. I've met plenty of celebrities. I've worked with plenty of celebrities. So they haven't got that. That's the whole point. And they are very, how can you put this, down on themselves because they came to an HBCU where they always got like A-list celebrities, right? No matter who it was. But now for 4 years now, they haven't got anything. They haven't had a concert. They haven't seen any celebrities up close. They haven't talked to anybody because they're underfunded, right? It's even coming down to you have you have Caucasian people coming in and teaching the classes, right, which are from, you know, it's not a bad thing, right? They're still getting the education, right? But they're not getting the education from somebody that understands what they're going through, which is what I had, right? I had teachers that understood what I was going through, right? When I was in there, not to kind of get off subject, but when I was in class, right, I was going through my own thing. I'm a black father. I had a kid, and I know what goes on with girls, so I didn't want anybody, you know, watching my kids. So I had her with me every day in class, football practice, all that.
They understood this.
Like, hey, it's going to be hard, but we'll help you out anytime you need anything, right? They're not getting that. They're not getting that now. They got, you know, hey, you can't have your kid in class. They got, hey, why are you talking to me like this? Hey, let me call campus police on you because you wanna act out instead of saying, hey, what's going on? What do you got going on? Right? I know you're stressing right now. I know you, but they're not getting any of that. So this is what it looks like now for them, for KSU, for Simmons, right? They're outsourcing teaching. They're outsourcing for this. They're outsourcing for that. They're underfunded for certain things. And we need to get this corrected, right, before we lose accreditation.
That's right.
Like
okay.
That.
But can you tell us a little bit about March 5th, the significance of Martin Luther King and the commemoration in Kentucky?
Yes. I believe it was March 5th, 1964. Dr. King led a march for justice and equality, right? Protection under just laws. He came out here with Jesse Jackson, and he preached, you know, to the people about this subject. Now, they said that the legislation failed, but 2 years later it was passed, right?
Yeah.
And they, March 5th this year, they are going to do a reenactment of this, and we're supposed to have yours truly helping lead the march and talk, you know, as like a headliner speaker. So hopefully, you know, that goes through. No, when it does go through.
Oh, it's going through, baby. I tell you
right,
that.
Right. You're going to set the crowd on fire. You're going to set the crowd on fire. And, you know, we're actually doing the things that, you know, King would have been proud of. I honestly believe that myself, you know, to see us up there and doing this. Me getting my holiday, right, trying to paint this red state black with the hip hop day, and then you coming through and leading this march. I think we got a good head start on everything on 2024.
Right, so we're going to speak on leading the march, and we want to hopefully give our host, Shaykh Imam Akbar, an opportunity to get Sister Filet on the line. But just with a note on Martin Luther King that day. In Lexington, Kentucky, Dr. Martin Luther King was known for his civil rights activism in the South, but the I Have a Dream speech in D.C. was not his only gig. So he spent ample time in Kentucky, and he did often in the 1950s and 1960s, notably Louisville, where his brother A.D. King, and we have spoken about his brother too, which is a whole different scandal in itself. He was the pastor of Zion Baptist Church. So his brother lived in Louisville for a few years in the 1960s, and he visited several times while his brother lived there. And currently in 1957, the 28-year-old King delivered a commencement speech to the graduates at Kentucky State University. This is in Frankfort. So this is a very HBCU that currently does not have any HBCU experience, as Sensei just mentioned. And King and baseball legend Jackie Robinson came to Frankfort on March 5th, 1964, and led 10,000 people to peacefully rally at the Capitol building, calling for a good public accommodations bill to end segregation and discrimination in stores, restaurants, theaters, and businesses. So the Allied Organization for Civil Rights, AOCR, coordinated the march, and AOCR members included offices of Frank Stanley Jr., the editor of the Louisville Defender. Now, is the Louisville Defender still in operations today?
I'm not sure. You know, I haven't looked into that, but I can see.
So we have to take a look and see if our black newspaper went under or did it defend itself. So the executive of the Presbyterian Church, the young Georgia Davis Powers, who later became the first black person and the first woman elected to Kentucky State Senate in 1967. This was the beginning of the civil rights activism and folk singers and civil rights activists, Peter, Paul, and Mary. And, you know, they're not the usuals of what we think as freedom fighters, but they had some very revolutionary musicians back then in this era. So we also will pay homage to that through hip-hop. And this is why we want to commemorate this year on March 5th, 2024, at that very same location. So I'm so excited. We'll talk more about that in the coming week. Now we're just going to relinquish the mic back to our host, Sheikh Mwamakwar. Also, if you want to give to this show, we've been here over 20-plus years, giving the most informative information you need anywhere on this planet. So you can donate at $777Bakers. That's $777Bakers. Say B-A-K-E-R-S. So he's baking a cake of revolution as fast as he can. We want to hear from you, our listening audience, who is on the line. Let's talk about injustice. Chasing on, Empress Chief, is anyone home? I think we might have some technical difficulties, shall we? Are you still there, Brother Simpson?
I'm here too,
but drop it like it had. Drop it like it
had. Oh, he's back.
You got Black Lightning with you. Y'all can drop it until we get the studio front. Black power.
So one of the things that we wanted to have primarily was to have Empress Chief speak about the Million Women World March, if you don't stand by. But if we have anyone in our listening audience, we'll take some calls in the second hour. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was the National Black Political Convention. How many of us remember that infinite event in Gary, Indiana in 1972? Is it Black Lightning or anyone else on the line that would like to chime in? The National Black Political Convention was supposed to take place in Newark, New Jersey in 2022 as the 50th commemorative anniversary. But guess what, Black family? It never happened. So who's at fault for that? It is the mayor, Roz Belocca. And we all know who his infamous father was, which we pray tell, may not say, poet laureate, Amiri Belocca. And did we not forget, almost 3 weeks ago, we had Imam Hassan Sharif, that was gunned down in the parking lot of the mosque after morning prayer, because in that area in Newark, New Jersey, was supposed to take place the most powerful commemorative event, and it never did. So now, who do we blame? We blame our local do-nothing Democrats, our do-nothing politicians. How often do we have to take a shaft and bury our loved ones with no legislation in sight, right? We talked about this, Black family. The anti-Black hate crime bill, sort of like the George Floyd Policing Act. And Brother Sensei, you could tell me a little about, have you heard of the George Floyd Policing Act? And has it in effect?
And you said, yes, I have, but you said, and how has it what?
Has it been in effect, the George Floyd Policing Act? Did it pass, as we know?
I am not sure. I that's something I haven't caught up with, but could you
answer to that, no, is No.
Let me go ahead and give y'all a free helping hand on here. Oh, my,
that's
my.
It. That's
There's
our
not been an ink stain. Believe me, I've got to get focused now and receive this. There's
wow.
not an ink stain in Washington on any form of legislation for us. There's always been a
two
fake out. I will see y'all at the next election. We'll get it in time. A Voters' Rights Act is somebody that feels like they want you to vote, but they don't really want you to vote. And this is
right.
evident that there's not one piece of legislation in our favor from Truman Eisenhower until this hour. That's just straight up. Anybody talking Jim Crow, there's no goddamn Jim Crow. It is the laws of the President of the United Snakes. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. The President of the United Snakes, his name is Andrew Johnson, and he vetoed all of the emancipation. The only piece of legislation you could have potentially got in that would have meant something to us was the Emancipation Proclamation. And Andrew Johnson, the so-called Jim Crow, vetoed the entire Emancipation Proclamation. You never got in. It never got enacted. It was never enforced. And there's just no legislation on the books for us. Now, if anybody has something contrary, we want to come to Black Power Radio, present your case, and we will bow down. We will bow down. If you can bring it here and drop it like it's hot, we'll bow down. We got Queen Mother out there in Spartanburg, South Carolina area. She's in Gaffney. We got Shabaka out there. We got Black Lightning out there. We got all kinds of folks going to tell you about it tonight. But I want to open all those mics up in that order, in the order in which they came online. Bring it like a top. Queen Mother, drop it. Give me a minute, and I'll get right to Shabaka. Give me a minute. Go right to Black Lightning. Give me a minute and get to Walt online. So Black Power, Queen Mother, talk Black to us tonight and give us some spiritual advice. And what do you think about the track record of Black Revolution and the Million Woman March? Black
Queen
Power.
Mother in the house. Black Power.
In the house.
Hey, hey, hey.
Mm-hmm. How
y'all
doing? Queen Mother? Oh, we're doing fantastic over here. We're a bit wet here in Washington, but we'll make it. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Taking one day at a time, Brother Eckwell. Taking one day at a time. Only thing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing we can do.
Yeah.
Just trying to hang in there. I got to go to the doctor tomorrow. You know, I'm still having a problem with my breathing. So I got to go to a specialist at 9 o'clock in the morning in Spartanburg. And y'all just keep me up in prayer, please. Because, you know, like I was telling you last time I was on, when I had that flu, when I got over it, it really affected my breathing worse than what it was. Because, you know, I'm on oxygen. 24 hours, and my breathing didn't come back correct. Well, it already was abnormal, but it's getting worse. So,
I just keep
my name lifted up in prayer, and I pray for you as well. I don't have no updates about Lavelle. I don't have no updates about Lavelle's case, so that's about where I am.
Did Chris get back with any information at all?
No. No, ma'am. No.
Wow.
I've been seeing he's the accident lawyer. I've been seeing, you know, being that he's in my contact. He's been making TikTok videos about car accidents and whatever kind of accident. You know, he's been making videos. Advertising, so no, he hasn't got back. But you know, that's what them white folks do. They beat up themselves, leave us behind. That's their norm. But once I get myself together, situated, I'm gonna be on. You know, I didn't wait this long.
We may not be aware. I wanted to just give a backdrop of Lavelle Lane, who was killed in October last year. This is in Spartanburg County Detention Center. Currently, there's over maybe 26 body bags, they stated, within the last couple of years there alone. But Lavelle Lane was a beloved son, brother, and he has a scholarship. He had big dreams ahead. But, again, racism and white supremacy take hold. And within a couple of hours of him being detained at the center, he was killed at 5 o'clock that morning. So to this day, Queen Mother Beverly Lane and the family have been fighting a justice fight, not only for Lavelle, but for many of the loved ones that were killed as well, the 26 families plus. There's still no justice. So Chuck Wrongright, as we call him, is the sheriff responsible for this heinous act. And to this moment, he should have been arraigned and jailed. But we're still awaiting a trial. And currently the attorney so-called working on this case needs to have a current update as to when that will happen. So we will keep you more informed. And we always want to remember our loved ones who are no longer here. Every day they steal our beloved bodies, and no regard, no justice. And this is why we must have legislation, Black family. There's not a if, and, or but about it. And when they see that killing us costs them accountability, more so than ever, that'll be a change for our children. So they don't be driving while Black, or taking the trash out while Black, or just walking down the street while Black, and we have to bury our loved ones. So right now we have to have legislation. We got to have these marches and demonstrations and unity, Black family. It's one thing to say about it, but we got to be about it. With that being said, let's round off to our other callers, and we love you so much, Queen Mother Beverly. We're here for you, and justice is not yet to be served. Black power.
Black power, black power. And next we have our brother Shabaka is out on that west side. He's Oaktown, L.A., Las Vegas, anywhere you could get in where you could fit on that west side. We got us some Shabaka up in here tonight. He's
coming out
tonight. Black power?
Yes, sir.
Black power.
Always.
Black
and always.
Welcome
always
to Black Power Radio. Oh,
yes,
bye-bye.
Sir. Thank you so very much, man. I see you back up there on Blog Talk. We are, too. So whatever, you know, trickery that them SOBs was pulling up to, man, may they burn in hell. Also, too, I'm all for the woman's, the million women's march. And then if anything we could do to get the word out there. On advertisement, Truth Bay, you have me as a friend. Imam, you have me as a friend. Of course, Dynamite has me a friend. Just let us know what we could do over here, Frontline Black News, for you as well, too. Now, what's currently going on right here, y'all, then I've been looking at this dump as in human shit. And we want to make that perfectly clear. This fool is a sexual predator. This clown goes out here and rapes about two or three women, and they up there saying that this idiot might not be mentally capable of handling a job. Well, of course he's off. Neither is Biden. Now, let me tell you what about old crooked Joe Biden, what he did for you. Of course, we all know about that federal crime bill that led to the majority of our people making up the inmate population. Also, too, is that when it comes to taxes, and I forgot that what this joker did is that they want you now have to pay tax if you make more than $600 a year. So which means is that some poor soul is out there panhandling, you know what I'm saying, standing on the side of the expressway, freeway, roadway, park, whatever, you know what I mean? And out of his wits, he'll say, so you're going to tax him, you know, for all the money he makes for over $600. So definitely get your finances in order. And also, too, for the migrants, okay? Yeah, okay, with the migrants, okay? On that, you know, the U.S. Senator from Texas by the name of Ted Cruz, who went up there and told everybody to kiss his ass, right? Okay, great, beautiful. We black family ain't got no business worrying about these damn migrants unless they're of African descent, but they have to have the mindset of Pan-Africanism, because what's happening is all these fuckers. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And yes, ma'am. And then on top of it, from what I understand, you know, what our Denver, Colorado correspondent has been telling us, Brother Jesse Parrish, I invited him to come on the show, is that the migrants, and I get this, people, is going up to people's doors, knocking on a door, asking for money. And you could best believe that one of them come knock up on my door, I'm going to treat it as a home invasion robbery. Why do we have this attitude? Okay, it's because we built this goddamn country. You see what I'm saying? No. Say what now? Hello? Somebody else?
A form of verbal applause.
okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, and I'm just ticked off. Now, another thing is here, too. They're getting ready to bring the Super Bowl here to Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City. So you're going to have drunk skunks. Everybody's here, the scum of the earth, you name it. They're going to claim it and what have you. So, and this is when we are stated, too, ma'am, and you, and I believe you had joined us, is that, you know, we were talking about black athletes, you know, forming their own leagues, is because with the talent level that we have, okay, the general public will come see our players more so than they will go see these Caucasoids. You see what I mean? Okay, it's because this is what the owner or one of the executives of the Washington Commander says, well, if you niggas don't like the way we're doing things, go form your own damn leagues. Hey, man, you're absolutely right. And then to quote the words of Ted Cruz, an ultra-conservative, crooked U.S. senator from the great state of Texas, I'm going to quote him. Hey, they can kiss our ass. You see what I mean? Because we do not have time to be sitting up here worrying about these other damn groups with this illusion of inclusion. You see what I'm saying? It countermands all our prospects, that also countermands, you know, the benefit of our future generations. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on my way out. I'm past 60, okay? So I got to make sure that I can hold my head held high before the ancestors, relating to the experiences that I've lived through. Because you see, as you know, Imam, is that they try to distort our history. You see what I mean? Just like when Dr. King, what he had stated is that he led our people into a burning house when it came to integration. So you have to admire the man, you know, for realizing his mistake. Also, too, condolences to the King family. As we all know, Dr. King's second son had transitioned a few days back, so our prayers are out to the King family as well, too. Now, also, too, that stupid-ass senator that you got down there, man, in South Carolina, that Tim Scott, that stymie looking ass scratching yasser boss sits up there and tells Trump, oh yeah, I love you, master, you so good to me, blah blah blah. Disgusting. Disgusting, disgusting, disgusting. Okay, it's because what it is that they prop these idiots up in front of us in mainstream media, thinking that these tricks represent us, and they don't. You see what I mean? It's because I would debate with any ass-scratching yasser boss to call into Shabaka's Black Experience Enhancer this upcoming Tuesday. The episode will be produced before the night is out, y'all. So definitely get with us, because we back up, you know, a little bit with Brother Shay and Krumer as our co-executive producer. Okay, these Tim
Scott,
these Bacari
sellers. All right, so Shabaka's Black Experience is on what time, brother? Let them know.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, we come on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. in the Pacific, 9 p.m. in the East, okay, 7 p.m. in the Mountain, and 8 p.m. in the Central Time Zone, you know. And we definitely appreciate all the support that we're getting over there. But Brother Che and myself, we are putting it out there, is that we are running out of money, and we need help, you know, to support that platform. And if anybody can make a donation, what have you, be greatly appreciated. Whatever that you got going on in the community, in return, we'll be more than happy to announce it. You'll be more than happy to come on there, you know, and be a guest host for what you're doing. Also, too, Dr. DeGruy, and if anybody has a line on Dr. DeGruy, please let her know that we're trying to get with her because, as you know, she's winding down on her feasibility study, you know, to see that reparations is worthwhile. Of course, we already know reparations is worthwhile. Reparations to repair for past atrocities. And also, too, we're inviting caucasoids up there because we're using caucasoids for sparring partners. Now, what do I mean by this? When they come up there with all this all-inclusive bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Tell them the real, that it's a lie, that you're still conning, you're still benefiting to this very, very day off the transatlantic slave trade for the simple fact for the initial investments that were made off into it and the other businesses that evolved off of it. Also, too, a lot of our patents that was stolen from us, like Mr. Elijah McCoy, who came up with the oil pump for railroad locomotives, you know, when they was coming out here to the West. You see what I'm saying, you know, contaminating the land out here. Also, too, we need some of that revenue because of the Southern Pacific Railroad. And if anybody ever hears the lore story of John Henry, it was the Southern Pacific Railroad that goes from Atlanta, Georgia, all the way to Los Angeles, California. And as you know, Dr. Bay, where they used to have those buildings down there off of 7th and Alameda, those great big warehouses that said Southern Pacific on it. And when they used to have, and when they used to have the trains go down Alameda Street, you see what I mean? You know, so we got to get paid off of that there, too. Also, too, the racist, psychopathic, sociopathic institution of Hollywood. We need to get our dibs on that. Look what they did to Paul Robeson. Look what they did to Oscar Mishra. And then, you know, and excuse the expression, ladies, I have to say this here to get my point across. They want all our black actresses to go out here to be these prostitutes, you know what I'm saying, and these alternative films, you know what I mean, for them to make a quote-unquote audition. And I'm not going to mention any names, you know, who are violated about that. And that dude Harvey Weinstein, they need to throw his sick, perverted ass up under the fucking jail and then make the dump, as in human shit, his cellmate. You see, dump is unstable to be the damn president. He's unstable to be the president. Look what he did to Omarosa. You know what I'm saying? And then also, too, ladies, I don't mean no disrespect. He's going to pay $250,000 to have sex with Stormy Daniels? Hey, gentlemen, have you took a look at that chick? Yeah, precisely my point. You see what I mean? So therefore, it's us being all-inclusive, you know, not all-inclusive, but I'm talking about all-inclusive with us in the Pan-African diaspora because we need each other. Also, too, the French, the Belgians, the British, they're still going down there, you know, still stealing the resources and stuff like that. So I appreciate the spirit of Thomas Sankofa. I appreciate the spirit of Julius Malema. I appreciate the spirits of, you know, of all the ones over there that want to get rid of these colonialists because, you see, now the Chinese are there. You see what I mean? You know, giving up these BS loans, knowing that the nation can't pay it back. Okay, so therefore we're going to go in there and take your land. Okay, that's predatory lending. You see what I mean? That's predatory lending.
Yes,
you see
sir.
What I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, so this is, yes, ma'am, and this is why we have got to bring back the concept of Pan-Africanism, but it appears, according to Brother Che Nkrumah, you know, the co-executive producer at Shabaka's Black Experience, based on his research, we are the only ones who are talking about it. So the ones who are on the continent of Africa, they got to get with the Pan-Africanism as well, too, is because a lot of them has been subjugated to neocolonialism and colonialism. And then, too, all the monarchs in Europe, man, we ain't got time to be worried about those fools. We got to worry about us, you see. And we got to have trade, you know, with the nations in Africa. We got to have trade, you know, with all those in the diaspora. You see what I'm saying? To ensure our economical survival, because they're going to be coming at us all through 60, folks. You know it. No, I know. They're going to be, yeah, they're coming at us, you know, from a whole 360-degree angle, which is a complete circle. Also, too, black families, we need to control some ports along the coast from South Carolina to California, because the busiest port on the West Coast, as you know, Dr. Bay, is the Port of Oakland. The Port of San Francisco no longer exists. The Port of Los Angeles, well, that's, you know, halfway. You see what I'm saying? But that Port of Oakland is where all that silicon comes in at, where the Chinese go over there to the continent, you know, get the raw materials for it, sell it across the Indian Ocean, prefab it, then they send it across the Pacific up under the Golden Gate Bridge. This is why when you look at it as the
Sheikah Mountain. Well, not only that, too, Brother Shabaka, the ports are also the location of where they sold our black bodies during chattel slavery, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
So,
yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes,
and
ma'am.
They are a billion-dollar real estate, black families. So any port that's in your area, you need to take note. That's really should be our location. Beach House Front.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And then I'm going to say two more things, and then I'm going to yield. Okay, first of all, control the movie-making industry is because, as we all know, is that Tyler Perry tried to buy Paramount Pictures or get a majority of stock in it, and, you know, Paramount Pictures told him, no, we're not going to do it. I appreciate Tyler Perry, but, brother, quit making the movies of our men folk wearing dresses, okay, because Tyler Perry did a very, very good movie called Alex Cross, where he was a police detective hunting down the killer that killed his wife. That was a strong black man in that one. So, Mr. Perry, you know, show us some more of this. There's nothing wrong with being strong black men. But, however, as we all know, is that the raping, slave trading pedophiles and their descendants, that they are in fear of a black insurrection. We can have an insurrection without firing one shot. Control our own commerce, control our own educational institutions, and appreciate the HBCUs. But the only one problem that I have with the HBCUs, you go on with this all-inclusive shit with it when it should be strictly for us. It's because you got these Asians going there. You got these white folks going in, these Ukrainians going in, and I say fuck Ukraine is because, you know, they're giving more money to Ukraine where they need to cut the goddamn check for our reparations. Excuse my language, I just had to get my point across. I yield.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate Brother Shabaka, and we've got a couple of horns for the good brother for opening up so many avenues of opportunities to concentrating on and working on. We truly need to be cognizant of it this hour. Shabaka, as always, we thank you so much for your great contribution to Black Power Radio right here in the East and in the West. But we thank you. We have right next to the line, we got Brother Black Lightning coming right up behind Shabaka. He's there on that East side. We visited with Black Lightning yesterday. We were live shaking out on that West side. So you can talk back to us if you're there with us, Black Lightning, Black Power.
Yes, sir. Black Power, always
Black Power.
Good.
He's live on Black Power Radio tonight, y'all. Black Power.
Black Power, good for you to have y'all through, too, you know?
Yes, sir.
So, I'm going to bring it in Black Power Radio 2.0, the kickoff show over there on Facebook Live. I've been really throwing down some jam for the last hour, trying to bring as many people to the on over here as we can, you know. So a few people chimed in, Brother Maitreya. Shout out to Black Power Brothers Maitreya from Huey P. A lot of people really are taking an interest in how we are stepping up for the displaced of our people, you know, displaced of all people, you know, but we have to look out for us first, because if we don't, no one else will. That's the damn sure, you know. So what else is going on? Pretty much from coast to coast, we're seeing how we can build up our communities, because we can have land and have our own black communities, you know. It doesn't have to be one person have a piece, one person have a piece, one person. No, we can all have a piece if we all get together and chip in, you know. And that's the basics of trade, you know. You know, the person with the tomatoes trade for the corn and the potatoes, you know, like the nomads in the desert. As a matter of fact, the brother from the Sudan was telling me how they have that's a memoir of a panther. I'm gonna say it, memoirs of a black panther. Yeah, the brother from the Sudan was telling me how the nomads, they go from place to place, and they travel in the night because it's too in the desert it's too hot to travel in the daytime, you know. But they travel at night, and then they show up in a town somewhere in one of them desert cities, and they'll have performances and circuses and all kind of stuff going on, you know, fire breathers and whatnot, you know, acts and trading. They might trade the goats for the corn and the meal, you know, to get what they need. So that's what I'm saying. We trade for what we need, because everybody don't have everything, but everybody does have everything. How about that? Yeah, so like I say, if they can do it in the desert, they can pop up out of the desert and leave back with corn and rice and meal and potatoes, and they might have herded some goats through there, and they leave five goats short and five bushels and shekels heavier for the camels, you know. And just like I say, like the word says, and shout out Queen Mother. We all praying for you, Queen Mother Beverly. Get well.
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I thought about you when I think about the scriptures, you know. We're building up what they say, like in God's barn, you know, we're building up hay and straw and everything that we need for the community. See, a lot of people get that twisted. They think it's some heavenly barn. No, the barn is right here. The people are right here. So what we are gathering is right here, you know. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Like I was saying, 48 years, that's the life expectancy of a person that's displaced, 48 years. And now we can turn that around, we as a people, you know. Like I say, we have ways of having communities. Everybody got a little piece of land. They can have sheds and barns or whatnot. The people have their own little spots, which I'm just going to go to them and let them do their own thing. But in the meantime, I'm thinking about right here, where we are. You know, we can have all of a community just like the like Dr. York did that a long time ago. You know, when he had a community for the people. So that's what we need. It's community for the people, you know. So people just gonna have to get together and build it, and we start that building block with us on $77 Bakers. But we got we got some bright minds that's on it, that's dead on it, you know. And then we have the strong military force to black it up when we get it. So $77 Bakers. That'll get the ball rolling in the right direction, you know. Just like sometimes, like when you're bowling, you do a curve ball, you know. It start off as a curve, and it's going for a strike, and that's what we're going for, a strike, you know. So like I say, the displaced people, if y'all can help out with that, on $77 Bakers, I'm sure that the community will greatly appreciate you. And that's the barn that they've been talking about, you know? Like they try to make it like they need another limousine, like these fake preachers, hate to say it like that, but these fake preachers they out here getting limousines and Lear jets and leaving the people in poverty, catching the bus to their sermons on Sunday. So while they poverty pimping, all we're saying is that the real barn of heaven is right here with the people. It's about what we're going to build for the people, what we build for ourselves. And I just land on that because we can rock the mic till the sun come up. rock the mic till the broad daylight. You know how the crew do, going to spin it like that 90-mile-hour shit. You get tongue-tied and twist the bike and holes in the lip. Even say they tried my shit. Black power.
Black power. Where they going to send all these cash donations? I mean, people are asking, where the hell are we going to send all this cash?
Oh, yeah, $77Bakers, y'all. So put some mean green in that black machine, a dollar sign. Y'all get your pens ready. 7777Bakers, B-A-K-E-R-S. $77Bakers. I hear that Marvin Gaye in the background. That always does me good. Black power.
All the people who are alphanumerically pure at heart, they can actually pick up and put their cash app right in there, $77Bakers. Keep Black Power Radio on there. Keep Shabaka's enhancement on the line. And
Black Experience Enhancement.
Oh, you already know it's an experience enhancement. Well, you can get it all right here at Black Power Radio on blog. We give you more of what you listen to the radio for. And we're going to bring up our brother DeWalt right now. Drop it like it's hot. Brother DeWalt, you there in North Carolina. Light it up for Black Power Radio. Hey, DeWalt.
You already
right
know,
there,
brother. Black Power.
Our radio. Black Power.
Black Power, brother. You already know.
Oh,
Black Power to the brother.
Always.
Oh, man. Black Power, brother.
Always.
It's a dash. And shout out to the brother, Brother Shabaka, for having Black Enhancement going on over there. And I called you on the phone, but I was doing something for my wife, and I decided that I better just hang up and do something for my wife.
No, you're anyway, the queen always comes first, brother. The
Shabaka
queen always
black
comes first.
Yes, sir.
Big up to the sisters, to the million women's movement, and. First, I must say that we support our sisters. Yes, we support our sisters. We in the must movement like this. We support our sisters today. Today, there's no nation without the black woman. No nation without the black man, woman, and child. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan once said, "Can't no civilization go higher than the women."
Exactly.
Because the black woman is the mother of civilization. Without
right on, I concur.
And there wouldn't be no mankind without the black woman because she is the mother of civilization.
Yes, sir.
But I wanted to go to the neo-colonialism, what the brother was speaking on, because it's definitely aimed at reinforcing capitalism. And,
right.
And that cultural subjugation of black is being ruined on the political spectrum of our people. Because it's a direct link to the social economic problems that we face as black people. Just imagine a people subjected to rules of another culture when the rules of those subjugations of that culture have created a destructive environment for black people. And we got to be vigilant of this black family. We have to understand that we have to look out for each other as brothers and sisters in a nation that's filled with some of the most diabolical people that you can even imagine. Plus, on top of that, our children are being brainwashed by an education system that doesn't educate our children properly. And just know that education is the most powerful weapon which can change this world, and we need that. But we are faced with all these lies and this education system. This is just a system just to brainwash our children to believe that white people are superior. And just imagine this stuff. Just imagine this being propagated on their Kellogg vision. It's highly disrespectful to our culture. I was watching NBC this afternoon, brothers and sisters, and the brother Al Sharpton had said something that reinforced, the brother Al Sharpton had said something that reinforced my thinking even more. He said something about one of our black children down in Texas. The child was going to court for hairstyle. Just imagine our children being singled out for a hairstyle in a country that said there's equality.
Traumatizing.
It's traumatizing. And just imagine your children got to go through this. Sisters and brothers, if we don't wake up to this sick reality that we face, brothers and sisters, we're going to crumble. And I don't think that on the watch, on the Black Panther's watch, I don't think for one second that our brothers and sisters are going to allow this to happen. We're going to come together collectively. We're going to build that infrastructure that's undeniably made for black people and show black unity and black love, because this is what we need, the love. A lot of us grew up not understanding what love is. Growing up in the streets of some of the most racist streets in a little small areas to where we got to come back this racist-ass cracker. We got to come back in. We got to come. Listen, we got to come together collectively and understand that we are not going to make it in a society like this that's uncivilized.
Online tonight, but go ahead, beloved. Go ahead and complete.
Yes, I'm just passionate about it, brothers and sisters. And I just want you all to know that it's always going to be black power on this side. Black power, and I yield.
It's the truth. Black power.
Come again, that west side is batting home runs. I mean, although we're batting some home runs here in the east, but we got our beloved sisters as far in the west as you can get. Our beloved sister Warrior Woman is out there on that west side, and she's been batting for 50 years right with me for black revolution. See, that's what most people are doing, a drive-by on their own revolution. But Sister Warrior Woman always stands up for black revolution. And we want to welcome you to the airway tonight, Warrior Woman, and Black Power. Black Power.
Warrior Woman. Black Power.
I'm just coming back from the memorial. We're driving, so I hope I don't get cut off. But I just wanted to say, you know, we're very strict in the revolution. There is no homosexual in the revolution. How can you produce no faggots? Khalid would always call them faggots, and I would always call them maggots, because some of the white ships that came over, they didn't have other women to have sex with, so they were doing it with animals. And, you know, the ships all got rotten, and, you know, maggots went and ate their ships. Some of them just fell apart. I mean, when I heard the prophecy of the war between the white man and the black man, you know whose side I already picked. So I'm here to say, pick up those pants and let your ass be showing. You don't bend down for nobody but Allah or God or the Creator.
Right.
You take directions to protect your people. Don't send them back in the hellhole of the enemy. The enemy, you know, somebody wanted to show me that movie about Blossom something. I ain't going to see no picture where brown or red people marry white people, and then their whole thing was money, get the money from the oil. All those reservations that are left in this country, that's what 78 was for. You know, the sterilization was 54%. Women and 46% men. How can I like the enemy? How can I try to sit there, you know, and think, oh, how happy, you know, she likes a white guy. It was getting me pissed off, man. I said, don't show me things like that. You know, so it's like never let that sickness of the white man get to us. Don't let it it penetrate our movement, our struggle, because it's for life and it's for the future generation. How can two men create a child? They can't, you know? And so one time they called me to go speak at a history class.
Impossible.
You know, I that's the first thing I said. Let's draw a picture, man, woman, you know, they can have children. The man and man cannot reproduce. They can't, you know, and that was it. You don't have to have a two-hour, three-hour program. And this is what they don't want you to know. They're sidetracking us by the border. They are sidetracking us because they don't want to show you Palestine. And they don't want to show you Arafat. As soon as I put a picture, and they killed him too, you know.
Yep.
You know, Arafat, Gaddafi, Longwalker all made a pledge, you know. So we know that the Brotherhood was Hamas. It was the PLO that was on our side. So they do bring the enemy to bring us out in there to kill us. That's how come I said we know the frontline people. If you're not ready to die and pick up a weapon to defend your people, then how in the hell are you going to open your mouth when you allow homosexual people to come into your group? You know?
Yes, ma'am.
They mixed us a long time ago. They ain't mixing us anymore. I don't know when my phone's going to go off because they don't like what I'm saying. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop till, like Gaddafi said, you know, we believe he's not just alive in our hearts. He's still here, you know? So forward is revolution.
Ma'am.
Never give up. Never surrender. Never take hostages because they're still going to kill us. So if it's slow death on alcohol and all the other isms, you know, we have to move forward. And remember all those teachers that we had. They didn't give up. They died fighting and they were killed fighting, you know, because they poisoned them. You know, and we lose too many people with white girlfriends. You know, when you see the white boy or the white girl, you know, with the black or brown or red person, just, you know, I turn my face. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see any of those pictures of that, you know, trying to inbred us in our brain to program us to love them, forgive them, you know. No, they've always killed
ma'am.
And continue to kill. And you can never, never let them slide in. Bidamiya, Shukran, all my relations. Forward in the revolution.
Black power. Black power.
Always.
Black power. I mean, this line
black
is a lit tonight from Sensei.
Black power.
From Dr. Truth Bay and Shabaka and Black Lightning and the Storm and the Quiet Storm. D-Walt, Warrior Woman. We have the Empress of Philly up on here tonight. And she's about to rock that mic and tell you just how this thing's supposed to go. They're talking Black Revolution and the Million Woman March Part 1. Black Power to Queen Empress Filet, straight out of Philadelphia. Come on. Black Power, welcome her to Black Power.
Okay.
I know y'all can do better than that. Black Power. Black Power.
Always.
So nice you got a good point.
Black Power.
Black Revolutionary.
Black Power.
Always.
Black Power.
Yeah,
Black
said.
Power.
Always.
Always good to be here with you. We just did a session. We did a briefing a little while ago, and I know the brothers are going to be doing something later on tonight on Black Power Radio. But earlier today, we had a very brief session because one of the commissions, and by the way, this is the Million Woman World March that we're talking about. I have to put that in here because, you know, we've evolved. We've evolved. And we're doing something that's never been done before. So we want people to be real clear about that. And that's what kind of makes it not only interesting but very complicated. And what I mean by that is we talk about the problems, but then when you start focusing on, well, what are we going to do about it, that's when it starts getting a little foggy in terms of what are the modes of operations going to be. And so for the past 10 years, MWM as a universal movement now has developed a variety of not only strategic kinds of operations, but some stuff that we've literally did some trial and error. So now we're going to look at that. So earlier today we talked about echo feedback here. So let me. Just me or okay. Earlier today we had a session and we talked about one of our new units, and it's called the Commission on the Status of African Women.
Now, every year, the United Nations holds sessions. The sessions are called the CSW. This year is the CSW 68, which means for 68 years, the United Nations has held these sessions. Now, note, before anybody, you know, kind of goes into another mindset, we're not putting any stock or any, you know, significance or belief in the United Nations. It's not that
right.
at all. But what
exactly.
it is this. For example, we talk about nation building. So in a realistic manner, there's only a few entities out here that can give you the capability to see close hand how that actually operates. And what I mean by that is some of this stuff has to be trial and error. So to be able to observe, interact, get reports, examine things, that's what this allows us to do. So literally, we're able to grow and develop just by watching, interacting, and so forth. So again, it's a tool. It's an instrument. But here's the other thing. Brother Malcolm, El Hash Malik al-Shabazz, told us that we need to take our issues and concerns to the United Nations. He said this. So for folks that be talking so much about Brother Malcolm, why is that not a part of what it is we're talking about? Now, note again, we have no real faith in the United Nations per se. However, what it does is it enables us to develop allies, which is what Brother Malcolm told us. He said, once you start making certain moves, you're then able to meet with people, and then you can talk with them about supporting your position and platform. So to have entities that are directly linked to a country, that gives you leverage on the political line, in a political way. So again, as we talk about nation building here in the U.S., how does that connect to existing nations? How are we able to engage and interact with them and collaborate, exchange, and so forth, if we don't have the kind of environment or capability to do that? So again, for us as women, every year, countries send hundreds of women from throughout the diaspora to the U.S. in March of every year. That enables us to meet with sisters from Tanzania, Nigeria, Ghana, Gambia, Ethiopia, Zanzibar, you name it, because they're able to come because it's a United Nations thing. Their countries enables them, allows them, or provides for them, or helps them to come to this session or these sessions. It's for 2 weeks. So my point is, we're able to literally sit and talk with sisters one-on-one, hear what they've been doing, what they're trying to do. We can talk about how we can support one another, and so forth and so on. Where else would you get that opportunity? So again, realistically speaking, we take full positive advantage of the situation that's going to benefit us. And so from this, we've been able to connect with sisters from other countries who are inclined to deal with a pan-African frame of reference. This is why it's important to know how to operate strategically without getting caught up in nonsense. So again,
right.
we had a session earlier today, and we started formulating our group. And what I told sisters was that if they're not going to be committed to the level of being disciplined, study, and so forth, then this particular group is not for them. We have other groups. We got the Million Women Party now and other groups that they can be involved in. But this particular group requires commitment, the capability to study, to be involved in a think tank, and so forth. Because you have to begin to understand and learn protocol and how certain things operate on the so-called governmental level. Because you cannot go up in certain circles acting stupid. it's not going to benefit anybody. So you have to know how to conduct certain kinds of conversations, still get your point across very clearly, but at the same time, you need to know the demeanor of how to do that. And there has been little to no capability for sisters on the grassroots level to have that kind of opportunity or interaction. Usually the women who are involved in those kind of dynamics, they're either connected to corporations, institutions, government, or some other entity that's connected to one of those three. But for sisters who are more organic, they don't get those opportunities. They are not able to hear, to learn, to interact, to exchange. And so we've now created that for our sisters that are interested. I had hoped more sisters would have gotten on this call earlier, but, you know, what we've learned to do now is for those that do come, we work with them, and we keep them moving. Because when you're building a civil society, and this is what we talked about today, we have to build things that we don't have, because we can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. That ain't going to work. But what we know we don't have is, do we have civil society? The answer is no. I mean, it's a few.
No.
But the answer is basically no. Most people don't even know what that is. And I'm not saying it doesn't do anything beyond
a certain point.
But what it does do, it puts us closer to the capability and goals and objectives. Again, MWM has never had a grant, and we've never had corporate sponsor. And so there's not many black women's organizations that function on a national and international level that can tell you that. And we've done that for a reason, and that is because when we are ready to interact with governments, we can do so with clean hands. We can do so in such a way that they see we are not beggars. We can do so in such a way that our position is established from self-determination from ear to ear, from A to Z. There's not many black women groups or organizations that can say that, not in this country. So we have a very unique position, and it's unfortunate that our women in particular did not see how valuable that was and is. And so we've waited long enough for them to see it, and unfortunately they haven't. So we're not waiting for them any longer. We will, you know, bring them in as they come in. So we ain't wasting no more time like that. And for the record, that's not about frustration. That's about dealing with reality. That's about
right.
Being wise enough to know how to now move things forward in such a way that things can get done. And lastly, starting February 1, our new campaign goes into effect. We're looking to raise our own monies. We are looking for 1 million sisters to become members of this movement, and here's what they will be contributing towards: the purchasing of machines and related equipment, because we're getting ready to establish our first factory where we will produce our own garments. We will train sisters first that are coming out of prison. That's our first cadre that will get this training. They will be training in how to do basic sewing and also power sewing. The ones who want to advance further will get training in drafting, power sewing, and tailoring, etc. But the first phase is basic. Our first line of product is going to be undergarment. So very soon you're going to hear Million Woman World underwear, undergarments for women and girls. Dr. John Henry Clark taught us. What did John Henry Clark? Dr. John Henry Clark, you see, people talk to give these quotes about people, but they ain't telling you about how they're going to do the work. So here it is. Dr. John Henry Clark said, we're not producing anything. We're not producing anything as a people. So what MWM did was we did the critical analysis, and we said, what is it that women buy and use, if not every day, almost every day? and we realized that was undergarments. Then we said, what is the practicality of that? Meaning, from the cost value, would it be practical to do that product? So we did the analysis again, and we looked at how much material it would take to make undergarments. We looked at what other things would be needed, which would be elastic and a few other things, right, a little frill, whatever. But technically, the cost that it would be to produce quality items that would be a lot cotton, more natural fibers. When you do the critical analysis of cost effectiveness, we're not only in the capability or in the capability of training, which produce jobs, it generates our own revenue.
Right.
So now, you see, so this is the kind of thing we've been working on for the past few years, and we had to wait to see, you know, who, what of our women, whose organizations and individuals, which ones would step up and see that, that this is some serious stuff that, that these sisters, meaning us, are talking about and doing. And so now we've gone through that trial and error process, and now, you know, we're ready to move forward. So for 2025, and if those who are familiar with the literature, you'll see specifically we put 2025, or you'll see 25 on there. That was all done for a very important reason, because that's a time period where we'll be able to introduce our line of undergarments, but also we're going to put out our own jewelry line. So again, the sisters that are coming out of prison, but also the sisters that are survivors from being violated. They're survivors of abuse and violation, or are trying to come out of that. They will get training on how to make jewelry with using semi-precious stones, the beading that's traditional for our people. We have a beading system that is indigenous to us as a people. And so they will learn some of that, the use of kauri shells, the use of certain beads that is indigenous to our people throughout the diaspora. They'll become familiar with malachite. They'll become familiar with, you know, the onyx and other kinds of stones that is primarily geared to us. So again, by creating our own line of jewelry and related accessories, it once again produces not only the capability to transform our women who are coming out of incarceration, abusive situations, or who just want to grow and develop and raise their families, to a sisterhood that is designed specifically to do that. Now, why our people can't support that, we now are going to ask that question. Why would you not support something like that?
Well, we support it right here on Black Power Radio. Absolutely.
No, I know you do, but I'm saying, you know, in general, because what we did was we again took the time to document. So we know who comes in at what point, although this is the same thing we've been talking about for a while. But we had to be able to show the evidence of both a mentality, because we thought that when we first did the Million Woman March, we thought that that was enough for people to see that, wow, that's some powerful stuff right there. What can we do, you know, to help continue it, or what could happen if it was continued? You got 2 million black women. What could that mean? And so we were under the impression that at that point that people would see it and go, wow, yeah, you know, let's see what else we can do. Never happened. So we waited and watched carefully so that we could see what was the problem other than what we all are familiar with, and that's what we call the system of white supremacy. And then we began to realize that there were other dynamics that created the either stigmas or incapability to do things that some really wanted to do but got stuck and couldn't do it. So we had to figure it out. So here's the point. So now we've done that to a greater extent, and now we have developed the kinds of structure and programming that allows us to move things forward, because we know psychologically that our people are, most have heard of the Willie Lynch letter. Many have, of course, heard of post-trauma slave syndrome. There's other psychosis out there, mythicized, for those who are familiar with Dr. Bobby Wright, which many are not, because our people don't study anymore. Whereas before, it was mandatory. You could not be in the Black Panther Party. You could not be in you could not be in the Nation of Islam. You could not be in the Wachovia Nation. You couldn't be in those entities and you not do some serious studying. But nowadays, that's like, that's too much work, you say. And as a result, we're ending up with piecemeal stuff or half this or sometime that. The consistency on things is very minimal because people's, what they call it, their attention span is like a child. It's like a five-year-old. Their attention span lasts that long. So they'll go to a big event or something like that or a conference or summit, but the actual work that it takes to build, most don't want to do that. And again, sometimes it's not because they don't want to. There is a psychological game that is put in the mix. Hence, when I said the Willie Lynch letter, myself and another brother, my colleague, Dr. Haseem Kambui, we call it now the Willie Lynch chip. Our people now have a chip that is really mentorian, and they function from that. And then you, of course, as I said before, you have the post-trauma slave syndrome. So this is generation of abuse that has now led to behaviors. And so lastly, and then I'm going to turn the mic back over to y'all, lastly is this, and I want you to pay close attention to this. Why has there never been a movement for and of women of African descent, Black women? Why has that never happened? Now, don't get me wrong. We've had women involved in movements. In fact, if you do the history, they'll tell you that it was really the sisters that did most of the work and most of the movements, really. But why has there not been anything that was directly focused on the women, coming from the women and for the women? And I don't mean that from a feminist perspective. I mean that from any other issue perspective. Why has that never existed? But everything else, every other issue, every other concern, there has been a movement that has been connected to it. But the issues that have been relevant to our women, there's never been anything that's had any specific focus on that area of our struggle. Why is that?
Yes, ma'am.
I agree. It's the judicial system, and I actually want you to tell us, what is the next session that you'll have for the Commission on the Status of African Women? We definitely need to be in the spaces of courthouses, as we explained in the beginning of the show, that we have certain courts that are all Caucasian, all European judges, from the bailiff to the magistrate to the sheriff. So we definitely have to take this seriously, and we want to encourage especially our Black women to take hold of these spaces. We must be knowledgeable now. So can you tell us how this was the next
I can. But sister, again, this particular commission is, you know, it's a very, how do I put this? This is not something that, and see, we put this out there over a week, for the past week. We sent it out to all of our, you know, to all of our networks and so forth. So I can't really tell you right now when the next session is for that particular commission. During March the 1st through the 10th, there's going to be a lot of workshops and so forth that you know, our sisters in particular can, in particular, and our brothers can attend some as well. That was my point. But for 10 days, and the schedule is going to be listed on February 1st. We told people they could register, pre-register. Early registration is up to January 31st. We've been putting this out there for weeks. So on February the 1st, the schedule will start rolling out. And then people can, anyone interested can, you know, participate. The first 5 days are free. When they see the listing of the workshops and the forums, they are free. There's even one for sisters. The discussion on the issue of hair straighteners and cancer and fibroids, there's an open forum that is going to talk about the dangers of chemical relaxers. Not a personal conversation, a scientific, factual data conversation, so that our women will know, listen, we ain't trying to tell you what to do, but we are saying to you, at least know or have some better insight into what you could possibly be doing to your body. So there's a forum just that to exist, to provide information and also feedback, because we do plan to do some class action filings. But that's down the road. But the first thing is information. So my point is that from March the 1st through the 5th, we'll be able to participate in dialogues for 5 days. Now, from the 5th to the 10th, that's for sisters who are serious. Going to get some work done, come hell or high water. They'll get very specific project information. For example, I'm not sure, Dr. Truth, if you got this, but we sent out the other day, we get ready to put the call out to sisters that are in the not entertainment, but in the music industry, music and literary industry, because we're getting ready to feature them as a part of the Million Woman World March, so that we can also put out our own CDs and other, you know, things that people can purchase based on our collaborations. So the auditions begin in February. From February 1st through March 31st, we start doing registration and auditions. And this is going to conclude the first phase of that at the Million Woman World March. You'll be able to see the sisters who have been selected to be a part of that cadre, that collective. And they will travel with us as we move forward, because we're planning to take the Million Woman World March to Africa next year. And so they will travel with us. See, again, we could not go in depth about what we're doing, but what we know we're doing is like none other. And we had hoped that sisters would see that based on the fact of the history that we already made. But, you know.
So it's the beginning. And every week we definitely want to invite those to come on and start helping develop the Million Women World March. There's so many components, but again, it's very necessary for us to do something different. So we thank you so much for being on the show, and we want, again, you let us know when the next session and how women can join. And then
absolutely. Well, the brothers are going to talk tonight, I think. Ms. Akbar, isn't the brothers going to have a second kin? Is that correct? Are they still doing it at night?
They've been scheduled. You may have to contact your lead man, and he's supposed to call in if he has any trouble getting in. You know the alternative number.
Okay. Got you. I'll make sure. I'll check
now,
on that. But
you had a further cross-examination question.
Okay.
Which was very interesting as well, about why has there not been certain things for women? Why has not been a form? Why has not been the right kind of movement? And it is simply because the black woman is the mother of civilization and cultivation for the right productivity, or the right production of the balanced human being. And the opposition does not want you to be balanced, and therefore they put a serious imbalance. So anything bringing you back to your authority and to your proper crown, et cetera, they will put a fulfillment decoy in the mix. They'll put some type of chattel of deception in the midst of you gaining your proper womanhood, your balance as the womanhood. And these forces have been dominating this Western world that we've been groomed in. But I again invite all black women to abandon all forms of Mediterraneanism, all form of capitalistic imperialism, all forms of duping their spirituality, duping their sexuality, and for God forbid, to get away from their diet at this hour.
But Brother Akbar, check this out. And again, this is again the critical analysis. You just hit it on the nose, and I thank you, brother. And
black
again,
power.
I'm so appreciative because I always let it be known. See, as a little girl, right, I didn't have like my dad with me for any long extended period of time because my parents divorced when I was very young, like 5 years old. However, my dad had established uncles. Like I had these black men who they were my uncles, right? So even though my dad was no longer kind of around after a period of time, my uncles were. Now, these weren't my biological uncles, by the way. But because of the way our community was designed at that time, as many have heard or talked about, there was a certain kind of synergy in the community. So I had these uncles who were friends of my dad, and they always looked after me. So here I'm 5, 6 years, 7 years old. Anything that I want or think I want, my uncles made sure I had it. I was riding in Cadillac cars, right? Because my uncles made sure that I was valued in fact, I was the princess amongst the group. You understand what I'm saying? So I let people know straight up, don't you ever dare insult me by trying to allude to, that's some feminist stuff. I let people know straight up, it was black men as a young girl who made sure that I had a certain value. They made sure that I had some money. I need to, I know where to go store, get some candy, whatever. And I ain't talking about no crazy stuff either. I'm talking about some real serious men. And a lot of them wore suits, you know, and whatever. Because, you know, some of us are, and I ain't talking about no, you know, they was number runners primarily. So let me be clear about that. I'm saying that I come from a culture of a certain type of integrity, and you did not do certain things, or you could get dealt with very seriously. And so as a little girl, I understood very well about a black man and his love for, for his daughter or his sister or his mother. I understood that. Because I had men around me who would hurt you if you even dreamt of messing with me. So I just want to put that on the table because, you know, people got to get real clear about some things because that's what's getting ready to happen now. That's what's getting ready to happen now. And as sisters come forward, they are going to learn and know thyself. And we are expecting brothers, as we raise our sisters up, to get rid of some of this pettiness, some of this undisciplinedness, some of this European whateverness. As we now, as women, nurture our young girls, our men will have an obligation. They are not going to be able to say, at least for some of us, they just look at them. They don't really say that. Because we're getting ready to step out into the hood with our sisters and say to them, sister, we ain't trying to tell you what to do, but what you want to consider, da-da-da-da-da, and help them. Help them. This is what MW is about.
Right on, right on. Black power to that.
So if any sisters are interested in our Rites of Passage program, that starts also March the 1st for girls 7 to 17 and for sisters 18 and up. For the sisters 18 and up, there's a book available that we'll be using for one of our Rites of Passage programs or initiatives, and it's called A Divine Self-Care Strategy. It's written by one of our sisters. Her name is Dr. Sheila Brown. She's a lawyer, but she's also a holistic specialist, and she's also one of the trainers for emergency response and preparedness. But she has a book that is mandatory for the sisters who wish to be a part of the MW Universal Sisterhood. Again, it's called The Divine Self-Care Strategy, A Wellness Guide to Total Body Alignment.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful.
Black power.
Definitely, I mean, we need the mics and the floor is open to you all to carry on that discussion. I haven't seen the brothers check in yet. I'm watching the switchboard carefully. So if there's any way you can signal them to call in or
okay,
yeah, numbers, I can definitely reach out to them and see if we can get them on and talk about the man's role in the being woman mind.
I surely will.
We're
on
international.
I will send them a text in a minute.
Yes, ma'am. So peace be unto you, and y'all, you all can carry on, Black Power.
Thank you, Dr. Truth.
Sister
Truth. Yes, ma'am. Before you split, I wanted to talk to you about the conference that we just had, the World of Mayors, World Conference of Mayors. And we were in Eatonville, Florida,
mm-hmm.
which historically is the first Black incorporated town in that city,
mm-hmm.
in the city of Orlando. And one of the things that they were promoting was to have Rosa Parks as a national holiday. Because as you have mentioned, there has not been a woman, Black woman, that has a national holiday.
Right. And you know where they got that from, right? You know where they got that from? See, again.
Give us a while. Yeah.
Again, we started that 5 years ago.
Right.
And I can tell you that at our convention, see, this is why you have to watch carefully. And this is why we do things in a certain way, because we can give you points of reference. And 5 years ago, we can show you the data where we started doing the polling. We literally started putting the polling out there to our people. And we had three women on there. And we asked our people, I have the documents, we asked our people to let us know which one they felt would be the one that we should begin to push for. And the three was Mother Rosa Parks. No, this wasn't the Sister Saint. This was for the national holiday.
Okay.
See, again, we created the Sister Saints because we were able to show how people try to co-opt our stuff. So, again, more than 5 years ago, before COVID, we started putting out there, we are going to now move forward for there to be a national holiday. And we know that Black people were going to watch us and at some point duplicate or try to duplicate, because that's what they do. That's what they've always done. They look at how the Black Panther Party in the 1960s, look how Push Rainbow became the entity to then, you know, kind of bring forward certain programs that was already put in place for the Panther Party. This is what they do.
Right.
Okay, grassroots stuff, and then they know that that's some real stuff because it's not diluted and polluted. So they look at our work, and that's why we put certain things out there intentionally so that we can expose and show the masses of our people just how people operate. So to go back to your point, and I want to be the rest of this. So at our summit, I mean, at our convention, that's on our convention, that the sisters that come from the 5th to the 10th, they will select, based on what we've already done, with the numbers, the feedback, those sisters are going to select who it is that we are going to go for a national holiday for. And so while we know that the mayors have a better capability, we're just going to expose them and say, y'all just came up with that stuff because we said it. And we can show you when we said it.
Right, so who is the other national holiday? Rosa Parks, you said, was the first one, right? Who was Julio,
well,
Harriet Tubman?
Yeah, there, again, there were three that were that it came down to. And you're right, it came from the 25 Sister Saints project.
Mm-hmm.
See, again, that's why we stacked the deck that kind of way, because when somebody jumps in with something and they can't show you, how did you develop that? Where did that come from? Where was the dialogue in regards to that to get you to that point? See, we can do that. That's why we do it the way that we do it, because we like for people to see how the system actually operates. So now we came up with three after we did our polling, which was through our radio programs, through various conferences and other things, and just putting information in the community. We literally had a paper that had three names, well, it came down to three names, and it was Mother Rosa Parks, Mother Harriet Tubman, and Mother Sojourner Truth.
Right.
Those were the three. Those were the three.
Right.
And so, you know, we can show you back to 2017. We can show you back to then when we started doing the project. And then, of course, COVID came, and we had to kind of, you know, shut down somewhat. And now we're picking it back up. But those people you're talking about, they ain't got no history like that.
This, oh, no.
Right. Yeah, this is something that they came up with because they know we're getting ready to present it because the presidential election is coming. And we're going to tell black women, don't get caught up in the Democratic, Republican, or anybody else's party like that. Without a demand. Without a demand. It's got to be, and I don't care, and not just the president, even in your neighborhood, in your community. Don't be voting for people if we cannot present them with a perspective, a proposed something, and they can't, and they will give you feedback on, well, yeah, you know, this is something we think we can support or whatever. Don't be voting for them jokers.
Yeah. But the person, actually, Johnny L. Ford, was the founder of the World Conference of Mayors. And so to see him push this, this is something that, you know, no holds barred against him, but, you know, he is married to a European. And I say that to say it can't go any far further than what we really need when we are not understanding family dynamics. So it was a nice event, but we definitely want to push one of the three, the Journal of Truth, Harriet, and Rosa. So which one do you think that we should have first? All three of them, I think, should
well,
be on.
No. See, again, I live in the world, so this is not our government, and until further notice, there's some things we can get done. There's some things we can get done realistically. You know, I'm a dreamer, but I'm realistic at the same time. And so I know what's doable, and I know what can get done. And so I can tell you that based on the polling and the stats that we have had, Mother Harriet Tubman is winning.
Awesome.
But we will, again, see, it's the grassroots, unfortunately, against the whatever else you want to call it. See, these are the people who always determine what we should do, how we should do it. None of that stuff ever comes from the grassroots. Now, they'll use the grassroots to get it done, but the hierarchy are the ones who really does the calls. And then they use the grassroots people, they use us to accomplish what they want to accomplish. But we're not really players in the game. What we've done is we flip the script. and we are exposing and saying, now, you all have listened to these Europeans for years. We're saying that power is with the people, but we're saying that it's coming from the people. That conversation last night or this weekend didn't come from the people. That came from the corporations and the parties, not the masses of the people. You see?
Democrats?
Right. But see, so we can present that argument and present it righteously and rightfully because they have no history, at least not to the degree that we have, in presenting that type of campaign. And lastly, we're the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere ever. Come play with us with that. I dare you. Come on, play with us with that.
They don't want no smoke.
No, they don't want that. But see, but because they're so used to doing what they do, now they've met something else now. We say that we are one of the other forces of nature. Most folks talk about the forces of nature that you're familiar with. But the other forces of nature, you don't hear much talk about that. Because as it is said in the Da Che Ching, it is said, those who say don't know and those who know don't say.
Well, what happened? We're still on air.
Okay, you should be Black Live. Everybody's Black Live? Oh, okay, let me see.
Black Live?
Should be Black Live.
Hey, ain't nobody fine.
You're live on Black Power Radio. Yep.
Yes, sir, Black Power.
Trying to see if Shabaka's still there. You still there, Shabaka? Let's see. Shabaka.
Shabaka was just looking for you.
Okay, Room. I don't miss, drop. A lot of people dropped. I don't know what happened. That's still, you're still not right. But still, y'all are live on Black Power Radio.
All right.
Live. Okay. You there, Truth Bay? I don't know if she's still there. She got to pull her back up. You can talk.
I'm here.
Okay.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Now, we're going into the National Black Political Convention. We're talking about a little bit of the early starts of this very important event in Gary, Indiana, 10th to the 12th to be exact. Now, this convention gathered around tens of thousands of African Americans to discuss and advocate for black communities that undergo significant economic crisis. Now, what does that remind us of? Wasn't that another purpose with the Million Man March as well, if we all remember that in 94. So do we remember, if anyone's on the line, to discuss a little bit about the National Black Political Convention? Did you attend? Are you aware of it? Could have done drive-by? What is your thoughts, black family?
I think a lot of people dropped off the line, ma'am.
All right.
But you know that when we had
the studio issues, but you all can continue.
All right. Well, we're getting our audio together. The National Black Political Convention is something that we want to revive, black family, in 2024. And there is a series of events that we're looking towards starting March 5th in Kentucky. So D.C., but Newark, New Jersey has been the original date that the National Black Political Convention 50th anniversary should have taken place. And as we said before, due to fair weather, we'll just be PG on this. bad politics just failed, failed, failed on bringing this forth. So who was there that was notable? You had some participants in the convention that include the Gary Indiana mayor, Richard Hatcher. He was a civil rights activist as well, Jesse Jackson, and the House of Representatives, Charles C. Diggs, along with Hatcher, and also we said, Mary Baraka, the father of now current mayor of Newark, New Jersey, Roz Baraka. So I'm going to play a little highlight. It is original footage of the trailer from Nation Time. This is 1972. So let me know, Black family, if you can hear, if the audio is good. If not, then we can reconvene because we're going to cover this particular NBPC event to really have our leaders say, this is it. This is sort of like an alternative of no reparations, no vote. Now, what do you think this convention was the purpose of? Particularly, again, to raise the economic bar for Black families. So is it a surprise, Black family, that we have a delay and deny of such a much-needed event? Merging Black businesses, Black Chamber of Commerce, which is the I and the key of Black businesses nationwide. NAACP, as we know, is not really for us, but for colored people. Just a few of the organizations that should support and fund and make sure that this event occurs. So we'll stay tuned, Black family. We're going to apply some pressure. That's right. We are going to apply some pressure right here from Black Power Radio to the local officials that we deem responsible for putting on the 52nd anniversary of the National Black Political Convention. So we'd like to hear from you. You can call in tomorrow as well, Monday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., 8 p.m. to 11 Eastern Standard Time, 515-605-9889. What agency do you think should sponsor the 52nd anniversary of the National Black Political Convention? So we are eager to hear from you, John Q. Public. And if you're not familiar with this event again, please Google it. This is quite important for us not to forget legendary events that our ancestors bled and died for, right? We know a list of them already. We have the usual Martin Luther King's and Malcolm X, right? But again, did you remember Imam Sharif Hassan, right? A boots-to-the-ground activist who recently gave his life for the very thing that this NBPC should have prevented, but it did not. So to these leaders that are responsible, we are going to give you a letter D in this report card. So let's hear the Nation Time original footage, 1972, Gary, Indiana, of the National Black Political Convention. And you're listening to Black Power Radio.
10,000 people have congregated here in Gary this weekend.
I am a Black man. I want a Black father. I do not trust white Republicans or white Democrats.
Okay. We're going to break this down a little bit, family. This is a two-minute commercial. Now, who you were listening to that was screaming from the top of his lungs, I do not trust white Republicans and so on and so forth. Let's hear it one more time. That was yours truly, the man who coined the African-American term that we are known as today, Jesse Jackson.
I am a Black man. I want a Black father. I do not trust white Republicans or white Democrats.
Now, I know that's right. But, Jesse, did you really, really give forth in making sure that Black people have an anti-Black hate crime bill today? He had all of the resources and connection in the world. Might have helped, right? He was there during MLK's assassination. That should be enough to qualify and say, hey, I think we need legislation to protect our Black people. But no, what did you do, brother? You gave us African-Americans.
as the term. Thank you so much. That gift that keeps on giving does absolutely nothing. Next we have, I believe, Charles C. Diggs was there as well. And as we mentioned before, the Gary, Indiana mayor, Richard Hatcher. All right. And some notables as well is Betty Shabazz, as well as Coretta Scott Kidd. So this was the who's who of activism was there on that historic day. We also had a comedian slash politician, Dick Gregory, and Richard Hatcher. We'll dig a little bit deeper on this mayor because it was very important to know, after this event was over, what really transpired? And we can also circle back to the Million Man March, right, in 1996. Now, what they produced was more black voting power for the Democratic dungeon. That's right, black family. It didn't give us nothing but more black Democrats. And that, black family, is a no-no. So when we say no reparations, no vote, or earn our black vote, it is the same cry that needs to be done. We need reparations. We need our land. We need to cut the check and just leave us be. So let's see how many roads that lead to this reparations rainbow. We will be the first one to get there. Will we see reparations this year? Some experts say no, it's a 2 to 3 year process. Some people say 7 to 10 years. Oh, black family, I tell you, there's so much dialogue circling this very necessary act. But however we get it, black family, we can start off with identifying where is the money that many of us taxes, right, while we're still working for the man, pay just as much as any other race. But what do we see in a result back at it? No, we have slums, right? We have a subpar educational school system. The public school system is beyond ridiculous, black family. But we send our children to this European castration of our mind, I like to say. Ah, mind is a terrible thing to waste. And what else? We have subpar jobs, right? We look at our community parks. It's not as green and bountiful as it is in parks like Beverly Hills or the Heights of anywhere USA. So why do we have to continue to live like that? Complacency, lack of consistency. Those are two of the things that continue to have us this way. So we must go back to the history of where things come in. And that is why we are highlighting the National Black Political Convention and all for what it's worth until we actually have a concrete date. Now, it is you, black family, that can push the date of this commemorative event at any time. We're saying we can start as early as March 5th in Kentucky. What do you say, black family? Is there a significant event, maybe in April, maybe in June? Hi, how about September or even December? December 10th, Human Rights Day. A few dates to think about, but I think it is up to us to at least start somewhere. And as we had a wonderful sister and a very powerful sister, Empress Chi Fillet in Philadelphia, who has been championing the Million Women World March for decades. And now this year, black families, all coming to full circle. We must take part in something big, and it is power in numbers. As we always know, it always says that the mighty will win. And the mighty, again, is in numbers. So each one of us got to do our part. And what is that part? Keep listening to Black Power Radio, and you will find something to get involved in, some cause to push, as well as education for our youth, our cubs. Oh, how much we love our Panther Cubs. They are the future, I tell you. So why not give them the best? Now, we did do a call a couple of weeks ago, and we did challenge our black women, right, to start with a budget. We said this year we want you to focus more on financing education for our youth. I'm not saying that we don't do that. Don't mind me before somebody come and jump down my throat. No, that's not what I mean, black family. We, more than anyone, believe in educating our kids. What I do mean is that we need to invest more into abstract ways of education for our youth, extracurricular activities, getting more out in the field. We do have some of our youth that have been taking up things like archery, right? Fishing, learning how to grow your own food so they have a green thumb early in life. These are the few things that we are going to continue to request for our youth so they can get out, you know, and put down that phone. Who is our current teacher? I mean, this is the age of technology, but we must be balanced, black family. We must be balanced. So field work, field trips is always encouraged so our young people, our people in general, can get in tune with nature. Now, we did mention agriculture as one of the biggest needs for the black community. As we know, many of our hoods, they have a food desert. As we speak in San Francisco, we just had a Safeway chain decided just to close down all the way. There's about two branches, and they both decided to close down in the Fillmore district of San Francisco. Shameful, shameful, black family. Now, we're going to look it up and see who are the ones that run Safeway. But again, if we don't do something about it and be proactive and say, you know what, we can open our own supermarket. That's right, farmers market. Let's start getting in tune with the black farmers. When I tell you, it is our duty to make sure that these things are in place. So housing, education, employment, nutrition, these are the four factors. Black family, we have to build our own institutions, as our Minister of Education, Ifatunde, right, Dr. Umar. Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey Academy is still in the wait, but it's a platform. It's there for us to start growing our school systems for our youth, right? So who has the green thumb in your neighborhood? Do you have a empty patch or acres of dry-ass land just sitting there? Let's start collaborating and say, you know what, we claim this land, and we're going to start growing our own things on it. We can start right, but it's just talk if it's not done. So please, take heed, black family, and start making the change in our neighborhood. Now back to the National Black Political Convention. We also had a couple of celebrities there as well, Richard Pryor, right, and some actors, Gary Belafonte. And what's your hashtag? That's one. Are you okay?
Every murder bomb, 500,000 have come to take their place, and our spirit remains uncomfortable. This is the nature of change. And it will seem jagged and convulsive, the name is the speed of universalism.
This document tells you why the man owes you reparations. Yeah, honey, for reparations, take it. This is reparations.
Oh, the speed of universalism.
This document tells you why the man owes you reparations. Yeah, honey, for reparations, take it. This is reparations.
I'm going to pause right there. That was the infamous Queen Mother Moore. And oh, my goodness, her name alone, and Dolores Blakely, who God bless both of them, are putting in the forefront for what we need for reparations. And it's still the conversation for today. So the United Nations, again, our brilliant sister, she mentioned, it is not the way for us to depend on getting what you so-called say reparations or anything else. It is a vehicle, though, because it is there, and it has not represented African women in a way that it should have since the 1940s, right? So we got to take hold and occupy these spaces and represent African women, black women, as it should. And judicial, I love law and justice. And what I am disappointed to see, again, is we're not in these spaces. Also, the black, the planning department of every city, when you look in your local city, just Google the city staff. If you live in a county, put in the county staff, and just look at the building and safety department or the planning department of your local jurisdiction, your local governance. And I can guarantee you'll see maybe a token brother, you know, and usually those brothers are not, you know, our brother brothers, you know what I mean? They're kind of washed a little bit. But rarely, up to no times, do you see a black woman in these spaces. And so that's something for us to think about, family. Let's start doing our part and start owning what we have. Black power.
Black power, black power. Dr. Truefay, we have a 267-977. It's black online. Who do we have on 267? 267? Okay, who's that speaking on 267? You're live on Black Power Radio. So you've got 267.
And somebody's trying to get okay.
Yes, sir.
Black Power, welcome to Black Power Radio.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Where are you calling from, brother? Talk to us.
Oh, this is Brother.
You're live.
This is Brother Lumumba. All right, give thanks. This is Brother Lumumba in the cage. Calling from Philadelphia.
Brother Lumumba in the house. Oh, we got to give you a proper welcome, brother. Come on, let's get it one here. Shout out. Tell us a little about your programs, Brother Lumumba. Thank you for coming on Black Power Radio. Tell us what's on your mind.
All right. Give thanks. Thank you for having me. So I'm calling in. I just wanted to touch base with the family and just share some information concerning the upcoming Million Women World March. And in my position of the serious brothers in support of the Million Women March and Universal Movement, and we're just announcing now just to share the information and launch the cadre of the Brotherhood just to be able to not only to be able to support but also to be able to assist in the coordination of certain aspects and elements in the upcoming Million Women World March this year.
Right on. Can you tell us the cadre of Brotherhood? What do you see in today's adults or youth in our men, primarily principals or anything for matter that we need to work on as a whole, or if there's anything you see for that matter that's priority?
Yes, indeed. So in conjunction with that, because that cadre is specifically for the male aspect and the balance within the Million Women World March Universal Movement, to show that it's, you know, although it's the focus is primarily for the women, there's an aspect and a component for the entire black family. And so the above is important is the male representation, of that spirit, of that energy. And so, you know, one of the main things that we focus on beyond the Brothers in Support aspect, because, you know, that is within the organization, but we also have the Mighty Maotic Men of Violent Action Network, which breaks down a little bit further into kind of the hows and whys. And so that program is a, I would like to call a mentorship program and a rites of passage program. So we kind of put a twist on the old paradigm of mentorship, understanding, you know, some of its origin and history, and began to spin that into our own perspective, and entitling that what I coined the mentorship program. And so that is men being able to take flight, to be able to soar, and to be the captains and navigators of their own ship, a.k.a. their own destiny and direction.
Mentorship. I love that. Can you tell us, the listening audience, because they may not think that it's still the way that it is, what's the significance of mentorship?
So, you know, within that perspective, you know, that's just coming from a Afrocentric and a Pan-Africanism perspective, a Black nationalist perspective. So goes into some of the principles of Ubuntu, which is, you know, I am because you are, you know, and the concept of I am my brother's keeper, right? And so understanding the concept of the community and the village. And so, you know, we have our foundation grounded upon, you know, our ancient history, legacy, principles, and cultures. And so, namely, we pull from the principles of Ma'at, including the 42 negative confessions of Ma'at, the teachings and practices of the Emerald Tablets through the Tahuti, and also in dealing with the Ngulu Saba and the seven principles. And so within that framework and foundations, we also pull from, you know, different principles of our organizations that have come before us as well, you know, so such as the Black Panther Party, such as the Republic of New Africa. So we glean from our ancestors and our histories and the principles of Sankofa in order to draw from our past, in order to affect our future more positively, efficiently, and effectively, coming from our own perspective, utilizing, once again, one of the core principles, which is Kuti Tafalia, self-determination, to name ourselves, define ourselves, and speak for ourselves, as opposed to being named, defined, and spoken for by others. And so we want to be able to really encapsulate, you know, those who we feel as though are prime examples of what it means to be a Black man, and to show a balanced perspective of divine masculinity, and to be able to combat, you know, a lot of the images and narratives that are really pushed on us through mass media, et cetera, whereas, you know, the examples that we're given is mainly of pimps, pushers, gangsters, thugs, all right? And we want to be able to contrast that with, you know, again, ancient principles, and more so put to the forefront of being leaders, providers, protectors, you know, fathers, kings, young princes, scholars, innovators, and inventors. And so, you know, we believe that that is a much more prudent and necessary example. So while they might give us, you know, the idols of today, you know, that they push on us through mainstream media, whether it be, you know, a rapper or an entertainer, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, we draw from examples throughout history, you know, from present day as well as those in antiquity. So, you know, we are able to lean on some of the works, some of the mission and spirit of a Dr. Khalid Muhammad, of a Malcolm Al-Haj, Malik El-Shabazz, of a Paul Robeson, of a Muhammad Ali, of a Mansa Musa, of a, you know, General Hannibal Barker. And so, you know, these are the examples that we utilize, you know, amongst many others. So this is a small example as opposed to, again, what we're readily given within mainstream media.
That is powerful, brother. That power to that. Can you tell us when is, or how can somebody join, or anyone that wants to know more information, how can they get in contact with you? There's a website? Or your social media?
Indeed. So on social media, I'm at PowerMan2282 on Instagram. On Facebook, I'm at Lumumba Uncaged. And we also have a YouTube as well that is also under Lumumba Uncaged. You can utilize the email as well at powerman2282@gmail.com. And within the coordinating efforts, there is some things that, you know, we want to focus on, you know, as it pertains to our some of our roles and positions when it comes to the upcoming Million Women World March. Okay, and so some of the things that we'll be dealing with will be, you know, of course, short-term and as well as, you know, further projected, you know, types of missions and actions. So initially we'll be dealing with, as far as the Million Women World March, we'll be dealing with committee and coordination sign-up. So we're dealing with aspects of communication, community outreach, membership and fundraising, transportation and logistics, security, ambassadors and official representatives, as well as advisory councils. So that's on the short term. So we're definitely looking for recruitment within those ranks. So individuals who have different areas of these expertise, we definitely welcome those to tap in and be able to build with us so we can help support our sisters in this monumental event and effort. And moving forward, we'll have different social events, so on and so forth, that will get into further aspects of, you know, the type of curriculums and trainings and initiatives that we believe are necessary in order to move forward, you know, as a collective, as a community. So some of those within the next, this year and the next year will be the Bobby Benty Social, which is a Afri-centered rendition of the father-daughter dance. We also have the Recharge Genocide 21 Project, all right? So that is the R4J formula that we're utilizing for reparations, okay? So that will be reparations, restoration, restitution, and retribution, all right? That's, again, that's the R4J. And then we also have the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Black Women and Girls, and the Brothers and Support Community Services, you know, where we go out, do outreach, community cleanups, you know, work with the youth and different rec centers and within the communities in order to build up that representation of, you know, that strong male image within the community as well. And then on the long-term, more protracted aspects and elements, we'll be dealing with portions of course, the Rites of Passage program, dealing with reacclimating returning citizens and making sure they are reorientated properly, you know, within the frameworks of understanding, you know, our culture, our history, and our traditions, as opposed to only dealing with aspects of, you know, teachings and tutelage that come from just the westernized, homogenized versions of history that we often get in public education systems. Also, we're dealing with our Black veterans and community security and safety programs.
That's what's up. That is definitely something that we have no shortage of opportunities for our people to get involved. So thank you so much for you and for Chloe to lead the choice and for us to get involved. Now, is there any closing remarks or advice that you'd like to give, especially to our young people out there who is looking for an outlet, finding their mission in life?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that we look at is focus on is making sure that we make understand the importance of our history, of our culture, because that in turn gives us our strength, right, and begins to further develop our understanding of our true purpose and intent on this planet, all right, which is one, understanding, you know, the base level that we are the mothers and fathers of modern-day civilization, and we need to act accordingly. So one of the things I always encourage our young men, as far as our young men is concerned, is to make sure that you are accountable and responsible within that framework, all right, making sure we have a concrete understanding of our rich heritage and legacy, and understand that we go far beyond just coming from, you know, the descendants of slaves. We are, again, the descendants of the actual mothers and fathers of modern-day civilization, all right? So when it comes to agriculture, when it comes to language, when it comes to mathematics, science, you know, when you look back at the origins of these things, we are the originators of these philosophies, these techniques, these sciences. And so, you know, within that, you know, we can take our rightful place, you know, as far as men is concerned, of being providers and protectors and directors within the community, being pillars of the family, the community, and the nation. And within that, you know, just to make sure that, you know, we are continuously building and being able to strengthen ourselves to be able to bring the best versions of ourselves to the table by continuously working on ourselves, mind, body, and spirit.
Right on. So thank you so much, Brother Mova. And to get in contact with you, PowerBand 22, is that correct?
That's PowerMan, PowerMan, at 2282@gmail.com. That's again powerman 2282@gmail.com.
Have you been in a car accident?
All right, good. Thanks, much appreciated. And in closing, I just would like to say, you know, one of the other things that we make sure that we always push and promote is the ability for critical and analytical thinking, as well as having the ability to develop your emotional intelligence so that you're not reactionary. So, you know, making sure that we think first and act secondly, making sure we're using our skills to be able to make the right moves and decisions as a man.
Very well said. Now you're listening. Black Power.
So much. Holly, appreciate it here at Black Power Radio and all of our vast listening and participating audience. Again, we always swing our doors on welcome hinges. Our phones and homes are open to you all. And we know that the event's going to be successful with Brother Setchers. And you have a network of brothers, is that right, helping you to push this program in a way that it's never been put on before, and especially here in Washington, D.C. I had one last caller that had a 973 maybe out there in the network. 973 at 818. You're live on Black Power Radio on the Million Woman March World International portion of our show tonight. 973, you're live. 973.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Welcome.
Revolutionary Love, Mira Vermani, calling from Newark, New Jersey. This came in to, you know, show my support and I'm standing in solidarity with Brother Lumumba and you all on Black Power Radio. You know, greetings, Revolutionary greetings to you.
Right on, Black Power.
That's right.
Tell us what's on the horizon. What is happening in Newark, New Jersey nowadays?
Well, it's just a lot. You know, give you an update on the E-Man. you know, as of today, no one's arrested. You know, there's speculation, you know, about, you know, somebody who could have been responsible for that, but it's, you know, hush-hush. We have also police and governmental terrorism, you know, still going on here in the city of Newark, where we have the brother from the New African Panther Party who was, you know, terrorized by the police while going into last week's council meeting, where, you know, he was able to speak. You know, his name was on the list. You know, he had a little altercation before and was banned probably about a year. He had an altercation with Ras Baraka, who's the sitting mayor in the city of Newark, in terms of the issue about, you know, advocating about housing. And, you know, it got heated. It was a heated argument between the brother and Ras Baraka, and, you know, Ras Baraka signed a restraining order, which he went to court, and the court gave him order that he had to be 150 feet away from anywhere the mayor is at, but the mayor wasn't nowhere around, and they shouldn't have stopped him from going into a public building, because that's a public place and also a public open public meeting.
Oh, my God. This mayor is at it again.
Yeah.
We got to get him another
Out of control. And I mean, like, you know, it's just unbelievable. But that's, you know, some new developments. And, you know, we got a lot of murders, a lot of, you know, I mean, it's killing and shootings and robberies every day. And, of course, you know, we got all this Department of Justice money that's pouring into the city, and, you know, all these different, you know, LLCs who are supposed to be helping in with social programs, and it's just not, you know, it's not working, you know. I mean, it's just crazy.
Not only that, I have the tape. I have the YouTube production of Chairman Africa going to the City Council of Newark and then turned away by the police, and we're doing some form of deception at the steps and so forth. And the brothers make his intentions known, and they were doing a fulfillment decoy or performing certain chattels of deception at the door. So we do have that on tape, and we'll make it. I wish it would just go viral, and then we, the people, just bum rush that and just shut it down until further notice, until we get government by we the people.
Very good idea.
By the time you see the Black Panther show up, believe me, a grave injustice has been done to black people. And when you see us show up, let the word go around. The National Chairman wants us to clean house, to shut down some of these city councils, shut down the goddamn mayor's office, police chief, all that shit.
Yeah.
We the people must be empowered. We must be empowered with black power and black revolution. And that's the speech of the Honorable Adam Clayton Powell, not from the modern-day Panthers, but it was a need back then, and they didn't follow Adam Clayton Powell. They didn't obey Adam Clayton Powell. But I hope you'll obey this imam. But if your sizable enough numbers show up, then goddamn it, you need to hold a line until you clean house and get some righteous government going for we the people and black power.
Right on.
Black power.
Yeah, well, after that, I did my community response, which I would, you know, anyway, I can probably, I'll probably try to, if, you know, Brother Lumumba could send it out, I'll send it to him. But I did a community response as to what happened. And, you know, it has a lot of people that viewed it. And I also, you know, was showing, you know,
video and sending that out of actually what took place when he arrived at City Hall. Now, they was able to let his wife and his daughter, who was also banned for months, and they was able to come back, but they didn't let him come in. So, you know, they were able to go in and speak and, you know, present, you know, what happened and at the council meeting, which I would probably, if I can send it to Brother Lumumba to show you, you know, the council meeting that day where his wife and his daughter spoke. And, you know, when Africa came, they stopped him at the door, so he wasn't able to, you know, go up there and, you know, give a community response to anything because they stopped him at the door. And if you've seen right. how many police was down there, it was just like, you know, we can't even find the amount of police they had him stopping him to go in there to speak on his free speech, and which he had a right to do. I mean, all them police, you know, and it's just unacceptable that we paying out of our tax dollars, you know,
mm-hmm.
for our own demise, yep. for the police to rise up against it. This is just unacceptable what is happening.
Absolutely.
Now, you might not like what the brother got to say and his, you know, his stance on, you know, this demonized government leaders that we have. I mean, like, what you mad about? What you angry about being exposed? What is the problem? We are in a housing crisis. There's nothing he said was wrong about the conditions that we are facing.
Correct.
I mean, we're in a state of emergency. I mean, here and all over in our black and brown communities. And they want to quiet us up and want to ban us out of meetings. And, you know, it's just bad. And we just need full, like you said, we need, like, anybody with, you know, with principle, with like minds, any militant, you know, any, you know, revolutionary. I mean, we should be locking arms on this. Because we shouldn't allow this to happen, period. I don't care if you... Hmm. You know, you took you off your post or whatever as a revolutionary. You ain't on post anymore. You working with these people. You inside with them. You should not have allowed this to take place. You know it's wrong. So it's
so much. You need to go.
You know, the housing crisis. You know, it's getting out. You know, I mean, the homeless and the housing crisis that we facing here is not getting any better. You know, they just mismanaging a lot of our federal dollars that's coming in for, you know, building housing and you know, homeless assistance and all that. You know, they think they could use this stuff as if it's their own personal piggy bank. Like, there's a lot of mismanagement, waste, fraud. And you expect us to just sit down and sit back and just turn a blind eye on what's going on. And it's not going to happen with all of us. All of us are not going to stand down and sit in silence and watch all this take place.
Wow. Wow. And this is exactly why we need you to
be
enforced
to
do something. Absolutely.
You know, come from a family that's supposed to be revolutionary. I know his father has to be. And that's, you know, rolling over in his grave. And that's why I'm going to continue to say a quote that he said. He said, black government administrations have joined in with the national oppression against black and brown and poor communities. I'm going to continue to repeat a Mary Baraka's words. I mean, you know, like, some of his stuff, good riddance too, but his work of, you know, of art and his you know, poetry and stuff and his sayings, you know, he a lot of that stuff makes sense.
Right, I agree. I agree. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge also the
locking hands of the superior, the white supremacy governance. And so that's why I believe Raj doesn't have that a revolutionary bone in his body, because it wasn't handed down to him. And I believe that we need to enforce, we spoke about the National Black Political Convention was supposed to take place right there in 2022, the 50th anniversary. And that is the one thing that we, the people, want to demand for us to have the NBPC there again. And that's one of the things I think we need to push.
They canceled it. I remember they were supposed to have it there, and for some reason they canceled it, and they had some kind of program that RAS spearheaded, like in something in honor of, you know, the Black Power Convention. But they were supposed to have that here, and I don't know why they didn't have it. You know, but it definitely needs to be.
We know why. It's called racking.
Of course, right. Right. You know, but it's just sad that some of these, you know, so-called revolutionaries, and I mean, it's just bad. Treason, I say they are nothing but sellouts and traitors to their race. How can you stand by and allow the conditions like this to happen to your people in this community? I mean, we got a predominantly black and brown city council.
Mm-hmm.
Predominantly.
Right. There should be no excuse, but au contraire, mon frère, it actually could be worse because a lot of them are blackface, as we say, Oreos.
We are in the worst condition. Yeah, we are in the worst condition with black leadership. The worst.
Absolutely. And there you have it, my sister. Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head. The 72 original National Black Political Convention did nothing for the community. In fact, the Democratic cities got mayors that brought it to the ground. So we know the crack era in the early 80s. That is all part of the results of events like this. So we got to really do things differently, demand things differently, and I believe that this is what's happening in the beginning of the year. It's a new season of coming together, but more importantly, we have to execute and show support on a local level. So when is the next city council? We need to show up in droves, at least in support of Brother Africa, who, of course, is stating what we've been saying nationwide. That's why reparations is so important, because housing, it was a law, black family, that we were not allowed to live in certain areas. And so Jim Crow, it was a law for them to continue to disrespect us as less than human. But the fact of this is, here's the kicker, we are not citizens, black family. We're not citizens. According to the Constitution that they drafted in 1776, remember, we were considered property. Property. That means we had no rights.
Right.
Nothing. We had absolutely nothing. And to this day, there has not been, not even the 13th and 14th Amendment, where they say that, oh, slavery is over. No, when you really read the words, and these supremacists, they're smart. They are smart little things. When you look at the words, it really doesn't say us, the chattel slaves, the blacks that built and toiled their sweat and building this country, that gives no protection, which is why we need a whole entire anti-black hate crime bill, as we've been saying for decades now. Not H.R. 40. Jim Clyburn this week, and a matter of fact, I'm going to give you an update, because on the 27th was supposed to be a Biden dinner in Charleston, South Carolina. So why is Biden there to begin with? He's trying to pander because he knows his time is up.
President General earlier when we, you know, when we talked, that he had the audacity to go into the churches in South Carolina with Clyburn, sellout nigga.
That's right. Loser.
I mean, this is terrible, but yeah, we definitely need like what you said, the new black order. Like, we have to. It's just bad. And these Negro peons are sold out. They are just traitors, a disgrace to our race.
Power, did the lines go off?
It shouldn't have went off.
Oh, no, Black Power, we're here. We're here. Live and done. Yes.
Yeah,
it,
everything got quiet.
Oh, I'm gonna like, they mad, y'all. They mad.
Yeah, I was like, what happened? It just went blank.
Well, we want to
Block Talk was doing the number one
our broadcast
last night.
Yeah, even Barack is there. Yeah, Barack is back too. Everybody's back now. Yeah.
Now we're back in line.
Yeah.
All right, so we're just having a discussion right here on Black Power Radio on the plan of action for Newark, New Jersey. We need to actually show support, immediate support for the next city council. So we need to find out. We come back on tomorrow's show to listen to the details of the next council meeting and an update on making some noise on housing. Absolutely. Housing is a human right, but it's not for us, apparently black folks. So that's what the message has been since redlining. And now we got to change that. So what is your take on what we need to do for Black Power?
Well, if anybody want to get in contact with the brother from the new African Panther Party, Africa, I'll give out his contact information.
Yes, ma'am. So all right.
I'll be able to send it through Brother Lumumba, because we definitely need to join forces, across this nation with our people,
That's right. So, if, Panthers, if you're listening, if you're in Newark or even New York, make your way to the next council meeting or the next demonstration, which should be at the next council meeting. There's no way that we should have any type of restraint in exercising our First Amendment rights, Black Power.
Right on. And the next council meeting will be February the 7th. February the 7th at Newark City Council.
All right, is there an address with the City Council?
920 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. And you can also go on the Newark City Clerk. They have a webpage on YouTube where you can actually watch the council meetings and see us live and live in color and how they use their police dogs, tick them on us. They mess with the just like what's going on with Blog Talk. They try to censor our voices and stuff. We have all kind of technical difficulties. They erase people's comments and everything. So this thing is not just happening on Blog Radio, where they messing with the technology and stuff like that. It's all at these council meetings also. They blur about what they want you to hear or don't want you to hear. It's just a whole lot. But the thing is that no matter what they do, no matter how hard they try, they ain't stopping nothing. We gonna be in it for the win.
That's right. And the city council, just briefly, we wanted to go over, I believe it is broken up and it's 9 districts. Including the mayor. So you have Michael J. Silva, Louise Scott Roundtree, C. Lawrence Crump, Patrick O'Council, Dupree Kelly, Louise Quintana, LaMonica McIver, Annabelle Ramos Jr., and Carlos M. Gonzalez. And as you said, it's a mostly black and brown makeup. But again, that doesn't mean they have our best interests at heart. So it's we the people. We the people got to take over, Black Power.
Right on.
So thank you, sister, so much.
Thank you for the time. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, and please come back on Black Power Radio and give us an update. We also want to honor and in remembrance of Imam Hashan Sharif, who still, as was just mentioned, there is no suspect. How disgusting can this justice system be with all the cameras in the world that now 3 weeks later we have nothing? You get an F. Get an F. Black Power. Like to our chairman, our host, Sheikh Imam Akbar.
This is only in America, only in America, and I'm just so upset at the whole system, not a part of it. We just need to clean the house all the way across America and call it a day. The righteous have that option. It's not an option until you exercise that option. All that's been said, all that you could possibly say. Any last words of what that Marvin Gaye did there? We'll be black tomorrow. You bring this subject back tomorrow as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything
we got
today, let's clear it all up tomorrow.
That's right.
Wish you all a Black Power night and be back on Monday, but on the same black station, the same black channel for more Black Power Radio. Give me four. Would you listen to Radio 4? And we have the most informative radio talk show on the internet, anywhere on 196,940,000 square miles of planet Earth. And you might have it on your Facebook, No Look. You might have it on Glitter and Twitter. But you might get it on Instagram with no hands. But wherever you tune in tonight, by your laptop, if you came in by desktop, anybody was laying back in their drop top and caught us on Black Power Radio, you know you caught an awesome show tonight. And we're going to keep that Million Women's March going and keep on track for Black Revolution.
World March.
That's right. Black Power.
Love your mother, love your brother, love your God.